Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us here tonight on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Denise Bold, and we're looking forward to having a wonderful, empowering show here, and I'm so glad all of you are with us. We are really rolling with issues of awareness and transparency and authenticity. And I called Nakia Lawson, and I tell you, we have the best conversations, Nakia and I. And we started talking and put two Leos together, and boom, something is going to happen. And Nakia and I decided to present a show for all of you based upon Prince and his paradigm of life and his style, as well as his beliefs. And Nakia brought up some really wonderful examples of how it really relates to birth work and to the work that we're doing in our authentic selves. So the show is here tonight. I'm glad you all can join me. The call-in number is 347-857-2381. That's 347-857-2381. I'm Denise Bold. I'm known as Bold Doula. I'm also an author, and I am the show's producer and host. And I can't thank you all enough for being here tonight. Nakia is also here on the phone with me, and I'm going to let her introduce herself. And we're going to begin to get this show going because we have a lot to share and a lot of empowerment is going to happen here tonight. Right, Nakia? Nakia, can you hear me?
I'm so sorry. My phone's on mute. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I sure can.
Oh, good deal. Okay, great, because I was just going on. I was so excited to your introduction and saying how, you know, we have these awesome conversations and they lead to what becomes a show title. Who'd have thought that in the loss and the passing of such a iconic music legend that it would turn into another show where you and I get a chance to just share some wonderful words of wisdom and some nuggets and some insight as it relates to us as birth workers. And so I am Nakia Lawson. I am the owner and operator of Birth Blessings, which is a professional and private doula care services. And I also have a nonprofit organization, the Natural Way Birthing Project, operating here in the Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas community, serving moms and families just as we empower them to have positive, healthy mom, healthy baby outcomes and satisfied and empowered birth experiences. And so that's the focus of what I do. And I love what I do, love. Yes. So.
So now, Nakia, you know, we've been together on these shows now for almost 15 shows, and we've been talking to women of color. We've been talking to noted leaders in the birth arena. And
right.
What we've basically evolved and elevated and ascended to is really talking about the authentic self. And that in itself is really not a very simplistic endeavor, but nonetheless, I find it to be very necessary. So I want this conversation tonight to really focus on the authentic self and how Prince was able to do that and how we could really, really model and really think about his actions and apply them to the birth world. So why don't you start and tell us what you were thinking in our conversation when we were talking on the phone, the many times we were talking on the phone, actually.
Right, right. So as you know, I was telling you the story of my interaction with the love I had for Prince. And so when I was in my 20s, I had a chance to go and see Prince in concert, and I was very fortunate to see him perform before he passed away, you know, about 15 or so years ago, a little bit more than 15 years ago. So I knew Prince of the 80s and the Prince where the music, you know, gripped us from the Purple Rain era. And so I was really excited about the music. And so the first night I had gone to the show, I was lucky enough to where I was invited to the show. And I didn't have a seat at the show, although I had an invitation. I didn't have a seat. So I get in the arena, and we were at the Fox Theater, and I get to the theater, and I got there a little late, and so the opening acts were kind of finishing up, and, you know, I kind of made my way into the auditorium and, you know, just kind of found my place. And 10 o'clock, the lights go down, the purple lights come up, the thunderstorm starts to just blaze in the background, And then Prince comes out, and he just does stellar Prince. Again, we're talking about the 90s, so he jammed, like, all of his hits from the 80s and the early 90s, and it was just amazing, just over the top, just music, music, music. For hours, we were just jumping and just really enjoying the show. And so I was like, yes, this is awesome. Well, he was doing a two-night show there in Atlanta, and I was fortunate enough to get invited to the show the next night. And so, of course, I didn't turn down the opportunity to see Prince two nights in a row. So I took up on the offer to go and see him again. Well, this time I was like, well, I'm going to get there a little bit earlier because I really want to catch him, a little bit earlier, get a seat, get myself positioned and get ready and catch the whole show. Well, I get there the next day, and I walk into the auditorium, and I hear his voice. And I'm shocked because he opened for himself. And I thought that was the oddest thing. You don't find artists open for these other opening acts come out, and they do their little two or three sets. And these were his newer artists that were part of his music club. At the time, he had already fulfilled his contract with Warner Brothers, and so he was doing some of his newer music, but it was part of the New Power Generation music club that he had established. And so he had some newer artists that were performing with him. And the second night, he performed his new music with Larry Graham on stage. And so Larry Graham was on stage with him, and he was performing a lot of his newer music. And I just kind of wasn't feeling the new sound. And I was like, well, you know, this is where Prince is, you know, evolving to. I ain't really liking this new Prince that's not with the label anymore. And that just ain't, you know, I enjoyed it. I just enjoy what I hear from on the radio and blah, blah, blah. So I wasn't following his music after that point. So, again, at this point, I'm just kind of left at, it's Prince. It was good. It was fun while it lasted. On to the next. So I felt kind of out of love with the evolution of him, and I really didn't follow his career. I really didn't follow his music very much after that. And so then when he passed away a couple weeks ago, a lot about him started to surface. And so whereas I wasn't doing a lot of insight on the research, I had read up a lot about him from different articles online, but there was so much that came out about him when he passed. You know, a lot of his philanthropic efforts came out. A lot of interviews that he had done over the years, they all came out. And as I'm listening and I'm reading, because I'm just engrossed in everything that's going on in his passing, I'm so engrossed with all of this stuff. Over the course of about 3 or 4 days, I kind of picked up on most of the interviews. I picked up on a lot of the articles. And so I was just kind of reading all this stuff about him and his life and how intriguing of a legend he was. And then I started looking at how it really did mirror the birth industry. And what he endured and what he went through was very parallel to what's going on in the birth community. And I was like, this is interesting. And so when I had a chance to kind of share it with you, Denise, it was like, wow, come to think of it, that makes sense. And so we were just kind of discussing it, and it took me aback as to some of the parallels that happened. And I kind of took my notes, and I was looking at my notes as I was preparing for the show today. And this is the first time I've actually wrote notes out to prepare for the show because I wanted the audience. I did. Every other time this has been just, you know, me being the key and having a whole lot to share. But this time I really wanted the audience to know there were so many similarities in the way that he established his legacy,
yes,
and how we as birth workers establish our brands.
Yes.
And as well as
our legacy as birth workers, yes.
Definitely, definitely. But one of the things we know is this man was an icon. He was a legend. And more so than anything, he exemplified authenticity.
Yes.
Unlike many artists now who are very cookie cutter, they kind of all sound the same. They have one genre of music that they play, and that's it. That's all. That's what they do. This man reinvented himself over and over and over. There was no music that he wasn't familiar with. He studied music. He studied the different types of instrumentation. And, you know, of course, he played several instruments. But aside from that, that's what he shared. He shared that as part of his truth. And so being authentic to his creativity and his artistry, that was part of his truth. And I think that's kind of where we we as birth workers kind of can parallel that when we are operating in our authentic selves. So part of what I wrote down, and you can just kind of jump in if you want to, Denise, whenever, but I got real intrigued by this, even as I was writing my notes. I was like, wow, oh, my gosh, there's more, there's more. So one of the things that I put, I made these two columns, and I talked about Prince, the artist, and then the birth worker, and looking at the different industries and how they operate, whereas Prince was in the music industry, and it's run by executives. We're in the birth industry, and it's run by the medical professionals and the clinicians. Music is an unregulated industry. There's no cap on, you know, how much one particular artist can make compared to someone who can sing just as well as some of these famous artists. There are some people who aren't making a dime in the music industry. And then there are some people who are making millions in the music industry. That's because there's no regulation on it, just like there's no regulation in the birth industry. You have some doulas who choose to serve for free, and you have some doulas who have a very specific dollar amount that they put on their skill sets, and that's what they will contract for. And in speaking of contracts, that industry, even though it's not regulated, it's pretty much predicated on contractual work. So the bigger the contract, the more work you do, the more you're out there, the more noticed you are, the more you have backing from these executives. Same thing in the birth industry. You know, we work on contracts. The more contracts you have, the more clients you serve, the more you put yourself out there, the more you interact with professionals, the more you interact with doctors, the more you interact with nurses, hospitals, other birth professionals, the more you're contracted. And so it kind of parallels in that regard. One of the main things about Prince that was very much so in comparison to what we do as birth workers is this man dictated his artistry. He had complete freedom of creativity on how he made his music. And that's very much the same way we are in the birth industry. We have complete creativity on how we dictate our services. So no one can say there's a certain way you have to doula if you choose. Now, you may choose a particular organization to certify with, and they have particular guidelines that they have an expectation, again, an expectation but not a regulation on how you conduct yourself as a part of their membership base. But there is that doesn't stifle how you serve your families. And he wasn't stifled in how he created his artistry. From my understanding, he has a vault with so much music that was not even recorded that it would take years and years to put all that to, you know, that music to actual recordings if someone was to go in his vault and start recording the music that he put down. It is unbelievable. And then one of the things that he did when he decided to no longer be dictated by to work with the contract, rather, when he decided to no longer work under contract, he set his own prices. Ooh, that was a big one. That was a big one for me. When I found out this man finished out his contract and he decided that he would start a music club on the internet, again, this world wide web, this global marketplace that we all have access to, he started his own music club and he set his own prices. And his prices dropped from what used to be like an $18.99 CD to like $9.99. So it was literally cut in half the amount of what he would charge. He would do concerts where the tickets were, when he was under contract, $150, $200, $300 a seat, to where they were $25 a seat. And he could fill up auditoriums at either price point. He could fill an auditorium. But he set that price because he wanted to be able to share his artistry with the masses. And so in our industry, we can set our prices. Now, mind you, when Prince started doing $25 concert tickets, it didn't affect Beyonce's $300 concert tickets. She still charges $300 for a concert ticket. And he could fill a stadium just like she could at $300 a ticket. He could fill a stadium at $25 a ticket. He kept all of that. She had to split that with all these different entities that were part of her contract process. Just blew my mind. And he did that unapologetically. He changed the way artists were able to make and distribute their own music. That's pretty much what we have gotten away from in this industry. We get so caught up in who's charging what, why that person is charging that amount, how that's affecting us as an industry per se. I hear people say it all the time. Well, if doulas are not charging money, and I used to say it too, and that's the thing. I used to kind of have that same mindset. Well, if women are out here working for free, doing doula work for free, it's going to affect the whole industry. Then I had to think about it. In his past, and I thought about that, when he dropped his prices from the $150, $200 prices for concert tickets down to $25, that didn't affect Beyonce. That didn't affect Jay-Z. It didn't affect Nicki Minaj. It didn't affect Belle Biv DeVoe, who probably can't get about $40, $50 for a concert ticket now. It didn't affect any of those people. It didn't affect any of those people. You can probably go see El DeBarge for $25 now, because that's about what his ticket prices are worth compared to Beyonce. That's $300. Well, Prince chose to do that. In our industry, that's the biggest battle we're having right now, to give the authentic birth worker an opportunity to set her own prices based on the value and what she sees is necessary, or he sees is necessary, for the type of unapologetic, authentic services that he or she provides to their clients. That's the joy and the benefit of being in this unregulated industry. And that man realized that. He realized that after the fact, after he had made a name for himself, after he had put out album after album after album under contract, and he had built a presence so that no one could even take it away from him. When he stepped away from his record label, he still was the same iconic Prince that could fill a stadium. That's the same thing
right.
that happens in the birth industry.
And, you know, and it's just, and it's really, really interesting that what we're learning here as doulas is that when you go into a room full of doulas, it's who did you train with? And that training then becomes that doula's brand. And what I just said
yes.
to a new doula today, just because you train with a certain organization doesn't mean that they have branded you. You simply, basically, garnered education, knowledge for that
right.
matter. It's up to you to be individualized and bring your skill set, bring your passion, bring your spirituality into this practice and build it. So,
but the thing,
you know,
about it is, go ahead.
So that's what I see, you know, what happened with Prince is that, you know, this was a guy who was very private. He was very humble. He was very
mm-hmm.
giving, and we're going to talk about giving in a minute, Nikki,
mm-hmm.
because you and I are
mm-hmm.
big on that. He was very giving. He maintained his authenticity even though he had to adhere to a certain paradigm for a while called the record company.
Right.
And
it
didn't match his mission, so he excused himself and went ahead with his own mission, and he was fearless in doing so. And all the while, if you even just go on iTunes and look at his album covers, you will see how this man has also evolved spiritually. I mean, one of
right.
his last album covers, he has a three-lens eye of sunglasses where the third eye is on the sunglasses. And we have to understand about the spiritual side of birth. And when we move away from the spiritual side, we are really moving away from the authentic self, and we are really not getting the best value for what this work is, because birth is spiritual. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care about evidence-based and data sets and all that. When it really comes down to it, birth is spiritual. And as I
and
said before on the podcast,
yes.
we are spirits having a human experience. So I want us to continue to talk about this, and I just want everyone to know that the event page on Facebook is open if you'd like to throw in some comments, if you want to summarize or throw in any questions or anything. It's wide open for everybody here. We've got a lot of callers here in the queue listening, and I really do appreciate everyone being here tonight. But I want to talk about for a minute about giving, because if there's one thing that attracted me to Nakia as a friend, is one of her favorite lines, the more you give, the more you receive.
The more you have to give. No. I say the more you give, the more you
have
to give. My mother taught me that.
The more you have to give. Okay.
The more
you
give, the more you have to give.
The more you give, the more you have to give. So in other words, I think that's really special for birth workers, because in this field, I'm here in my community. I don't see a lot of doulas attending community meetings, being on coalitions, volunteering for events that are maternal focused. It's always about capitalism. Let's go to Babies R Us and set up a table. I'm always seeing a very capitalistic. I don't really see a lot of volunteerism. I don't see a lot of activism and involvement. And I think when we give, we will have more to give. And that is a growing entity that I think is really special. And I know for a fact, because it's all over, you know, social media, that Prince, who is a multimillionaire, gave money to many, many, many charitable organizations and enterprises and projects, and never spoke a word about what he did. He just simply did what he had to do and kept his head down and kept it moving. So I think as doulas, I think it's time to really think about investing that giving side, because it's not just about the capitalistic. It's not just about getting to the six figures or how many births did you get this year or at what fee. I think it's also important that we also pull in the reins and consider the giving side of that. What do you think, Nakia?
Of course, you know, I'm 110% all over the giving. And it goes back to, again, that saying that my mom taught me when we were growing up, the more you give, the more you have to give. And that's because, you know, for me, God is my source. And I say that because some people, you know, refer to him as spirit, and some refer to him as the universe, and just, you know, for whatever the religion is, and it doesn't really matter, because we all know that the increase does not come from within, from ourselves. You know, it comes from the manifestation of what we put out there. And when we put it out there, we put it out there in spirit and in truth. And that's part of that giving. And so giving is ministry. Okay, no matter what, you're sharing good news, which is the gospel. And so if what you share with your families that you work with, you know, on the birth level is good news, then you are operating on some level of ministry. Not all of it, and it's not, you know, there are some aspects of it that have to be financial, and there's a reason why, you know, we have financial aspect to it. But each and every one of us has an opportunity and an ability to give back something as a birth worker. For so many people, and I don't mean just, you know, an annual diaper drive to give away, you know, a free pack of Pampers to a mama who can't afford a pack of diapers. That's not what I mean when I say giving. And I mean that true, authentic self, when it is such selfless giving that it impacts lives to the point where people can reach out to you, they can call on you, they know that when they're in your presence, not only have they gained something so much more, but they can't wait to share it with the next person. So aside from I have something tangible that you can take, like a pack of diapers, and nothing against diaper drives, because I do one annually, and anybody who is in the Tarrant County DFW area and you want to donate to the Natural Way Birthing Project, we will take a pack of diapers, because part of what I do in terms of my giving is I offer a free childbirth class once a month, every fourth Saturday in my community, for all women who can or cannot afford but don't have the time or the resource or whatever to attend a childbirth class. We make that resource available as part of the nonprofit, and that's a blessing. And a part of that, we give away a pack of diapers for those people who take the time to come. So it's a continual giving. And, you know, I do that not because I'm needing the community to acknowledge me that I'm offering this service, you know, or that my nonprofit provides low-cost doula care for women who can't afford some of our high-end doulas in the community. A lot of the doulas that are in training, they reach out to me and they say, Nakia, you know, I'm trying to get my certifying birth. Can you help support me? Well, I have an entire group of marginalized women who can't afford, you know, $8,000, $9,000, $1,500 doula. Would love to get, you know, low-cost doula care and have the support and have the energy, and sometimes maybe even get, you know, a doula in tandem, because in some cases they get me and a doula in training that I'm shadowing her as she's learning her skills and gaining her skill sets So it opens up that opportunity for our community to expand and to grow, for us to learn from each other, for us to serve the women who need us the most, the vulnerable women in our community who don't have access to the support and the resources. That's important. It's important that a part of what I do becomes philanthropic, not to get acknowledgement, not to get accolades, but because it's my calling. It's my reasonable service unto God. It is part of what he put me on this planet for. It is part of why he allowed me to gain the skills that I do have. Because if I got them all for myself and I didn't share them or I didn't offer them up or whatever, then that's just wasted energy. It's wasted support. It's wasted time. You know, I only have a limited amount of time on this earth, and I want part of that to be about what I can sow into someone else, because everything I try to put out there, I try to put it out so that it lands on fertile ground, so that it grows and it becomes something fruitful for the next person that encounters that family. And I think that's a lot of part of what Prince did as well. And being that he was a Jehovah's Witness, he was a devout Jehovah's Witness, he was born and raised as a Seventh-day Adventist. And then in the late 90s, early 2000s, he converted to Jehovah's Witness, and he stopped giving out autographs, and he started giving out their literature regarding their truth. And that was what he felt was necessary for the people to understand his connection to his spirit. Whereas for me, you know, I'm not famous to give anybody an autograph. I give you a hug. I give you some information. I give you some knowledge. I impart and empower with you the opportunity to have the birth of your choice. And that, to me, is my ministry. And that's part of my giving. And the more God gives me to give more.
Yes. And I think it's really, really important that we understand that giving side, and that we understand that we were put here for a specific purpose. And when we feel the disconnect, when we feel that things just aren't right, it is because we are not really in touch with what we are here to do. We are not in touch with our true, authentic self or our spirit. And we are denying that side of us. And when we deny that, it becomes atrophied. It becomes misaligned. It becomes really a challenge to negate through life. So for me, I'm here and I'm growing spiritually. And I feel that giving to my community by participating in meetings and contributing to events and, you know, even giving my time to someone who needs me to sit down and listen to them and just validate that, as, you know, they want to be heard. They want someone to listen and just basically attend this conversation. And I can do that. And I can also go into a birth and give that mother 110% of Denise Bowles and really help her work towards the birth that she wants and deserves. You know, I just did a conference presentation here today, and I had people come up to me that I've never met before, or I have met in passing in the work as a doula. I had nurses come up to me today and say, I came to this conference, Denise, because you were presenting, and I work with you at such and such a hospital, and you are an awesome doula, and I wanted to see you today. Now, that's me being my authentic self. When I was trying to match and be, you know, this type of doula because I took their training, or that type of doula over here because I took their training, I was losing a certain essence and nothing was falling into place. So I say to all of you, with what Nikia and I just talked about as far as the giving aspect, along with Prince's life and being humble and being able to give because there's more to give, giving is a wonderful aspect of life and of spirit of heart. Giving does so much to your body. It just heals. It rejuvenates. It gives you a purpose. And at the same time, listeners, I'm asking all of you to also be something else. And that's something that I know Nikia is, and I know that I am. Fearless. Prince was fearless. He would put on his lipstick or eyeliner, whatever the mood struck him to do in his authenticity, he was fearless in that. He never, ever shrunk back. One of the times that I first met Nikia, I was on a Facebook page in a doula group, and I said a statement, and I was basically in a shark. I was in a shark tank with blood all around me, and these sharks were coming. And I stepped back because I'm like, well, wait a minute, this is new territory for me. And I can remember Nikia saying on the post, don't step back, step up. And that just struck me, and my back stood up straight ever since in this field, because we have to be fearless. When you're fearless, you are embracing your authentic self. You are embracing God. You are embracing your spiritual side. You are embracing the purpose of why you were put here. You were put here to do something. You were not put here to be unhappy, to be unfulfilled, to be giving someone else money and for trainings and for doing things, and meanwhile you don't see the purpose of it, or you can't get to that purpose that you're trying to get to. You're finding a challenge. So I'm just asking all of you to be fearless. If you have to write that letter to the editor of the newspaper about an issue around birth in your community, please do that. If you have to write a letter to your local politician or congressman or to the nurse case manager where you are providing support, please do that. If you have to write a blog that you feel that there's a topic that really needs to have some light shed onto it, please be fearless and do that. Don't worry about your writing style. Have another peer look over it for you and give you a critique before you put it live or before you send that letter. But be fearless, because when we're fearless, that's when we are really doing the work we were put here to do. And that authenticity and that light and that giving and that humility and that God's grace is all about being fearless, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. Yeah, and so another thing about that, when you do things kind of unapologetically, you know, like this man wrote the word slave across his face, and he wore that like a badge of honor to indicate this is what's happening in this industry. This is how I'm being treated. So this is how I feel. I'm going to put that out there. I'm going to let it be known. You know, it goes on in our industry as well. But one of the things in his fearlessness, aside from, like I said, wearing the makeup and the pants with his ass cheeks out and, you know, the high heel shoes, because he was only 5'2", so he wore shoes just to give him height. You know, there are some doulas who have that love for themselves, and they're not afraid to just be themselves. And when you do that, what you don't understand is how you establish yourself as a relevant part of your industry. He was a relevant part of the music industry because of his fearlessness, because of his authenticity, because he was unapologetic. That made him relevant. Because even when he disassociated himself from contracts and record labels and the whole nine yards, everybody still knew who he was. Everybody still knew his name. He could still pack a stadium full of people at a concert. It was not a question as to whether or not he was going to put out good music. It may have been a different music. Like I said, for me, it changed because I was in my 20s and I didn't know any better. But as I listen to some of the music he's put out, some of it I relate to and some of it I don't. Even still, he still remained relevant. And so as birth workers, we have to establish a relevancy in our birth communities. If people know who you are and what you stand for, then there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to create a business around that. You create a business around being relevant because you bring something to the table. So it's not a matter where you're sitting back waiting for someone to build your business. You're waiting for someone to send you clients. You're waiting for someone who's on the sideline. You on the outside looking in. You are in the thick of it. You're right there in the midst of it. It goes back to our very, very first conversation and our very, very first interview, when the one thing that I say and it resonates and it's part of what creates my relevancy, you have to be everywhere birth is in your community.
Yes.
That is important. And when something is going on and you're vocal enough about it and you can let people know, hey, this is what's going on. This is what I have going on. This is what is important to me. This is what I stand for. You know, everybody does that. It's called promotion. You can be relevant if you're promoting who you are as a birth worker. But if no one knows that you're an expert placenta encapsulator, you're an expert Reiki master, you're an expert postpartum doula, you're an expert birth doula, you're an expert birth yoga instructor, you're an expert Western certified chiropractor in the birth. If no one knows that you have these amazing skill sets, then you're no longer relevant to the birth industry. Because
That's right.
Sitting back and being you know, and I don't want to use the word. Well, I'm not going to use the word. I don't want it, so I'm not going to. You have to remain relevant. And by being true to yourself, by being authentic in who you are as a birth worker, by creating a brand that is unapologetic, then you will be relevant enough that when the years come and go in this birth industry, your name will still be said. So one of the things that I can say, and I toot Nakia's horn by saying I'm the first and only that I know of African-American in this United States who has garnered a private hospital contract providing doula care. If anybody else has, please call me. I said this before because I want to chat with you and I want to do some brainstorming with you because right now I'm on that island all by myself. But that really creates a lot of relevance for me because I understand the concept of hospital doula work. There are some people who know it, but are you willing to share that with the next person who wants to become a hospital-based doula? Are you willing to share that with someone who wants to try to establish a doula program in our community? What good is it for me to have that knowledge and then not share it with the next person?
That's right.
That doesn't build our industry. And I think that's part of what the ministry is all about. That's one of the things I like that he did when he started his internet music club. He opened it up so that other artists could also put their music. So it wasn't a record label. He didn't do record labels. He didn't do contracts. What he did was established a platform for artists to come and share what they know, how they know it, and the true artistry of their music. Well,
right.
That's the same thing that could happen in the birth community. We could be, you know, a sisterhood of women in a brotherhood or a community of birth workers who don't mind offering love and support to each other to see each other get from one level to the next. Because at the end of the day, you can't serve everybody. That man's music didn't translate to everybody. Everybody didn't like Prince's music.
That's right. That's right.
Everybody's not going to want to hire Nakia to be their doula. Like,
that's
everybody's
right.
not going to want to hire Denise to be their doula. So there's plenty for everybody to embrace and enjoy this opportunity. And because somebody is free.
Say that again. Say that again.
What? The fact that there's plenty? There is plenty for everybody to enjoy the opportunity to build their birth business. There is plenty. I can talk to 8 people out of 10 who don't know what a doula is and what a doula does. I was in a chat room today, one of my mommy groups, and one of the ladies posted, and she didn't even know that infants could go and get chiropractic care. She felt like she was behind the times because her 11-month-old constipated baby, she didn't understand that chiropractic would help benefit him so that his bowels would move properly. And she was like, I feel so left behind because all these other mamas know. Well, we have to share this information. We have to be willing to get out there and let it be known. I love Dr. Charmaine Barnes. She's creating a movement where she's bringing on birth workers to come and tell and share and share and share and share and share these different aspects of our industry. And she's doing that in like a platform of a summit and getting people together and collectively talking about it. And she's taking it and she's kind of doing it, you know, in different areas and letting people know we got to get the word out. She tells me that, Nikki, we got to get the word out. People need to know that these services exist. It's too many mamas out here who don't know this stuff exists. And that's part of what he did. And the unfortunate thing is because of his religion, he didn't do it where, you know, it was something boastful. He did it very clandestine, and it was done in secret, and other people were able to be the front person. You know, one of his best friends, Van Jones, was the executive director and CEO of quite a few of the foundations that Prince funneled his monies through to serve communities and to serve, and he did concerts as a front to go into communities and serve the community, and again, creating more relevance. And that's kind of what we can do as birth workers in giving, you know, in doing something in your community. And it doesn't have to be a black-white thing. It doesn't have to be a white-Latina thing. It doesn't have to be a gay-straight thing. It's a service thing. This thing is about service. And giving back.
Spirit, absolutely.
Yes, giving
absolutely.
Back to community. It's about giving back to community. And there and is no reason that we could that we feel like if we do that, we're stepping on the toes of those individuals who are trying to make money. I need one person to explain to me how if a birth worker is giving her services to a community of women who need it, who want it, who partake in it, and that's the direction that she wants to go, how is that going to affect the person that's charging a fee that they feel is what is their worth? What is the value equation? Help me understand.
Nikia, especially when that doula who feels that they're being encroached upon is not even directing their services towards these community women in the first place.
Exactly. So if your ideal client is not a marginalized, underserved woman in a community, how is the next doula who is offering that resource to her impacting your community? How is it that when a doula comes into the community and she's offering free resources and the next doula says, well, I'm charging, you know, top dollar in for my services, how is that impacting? Because you probably are not even trying to reach the same individuals. Then that goes
right
back to, do you know who your ideal client is? Going back to music. Every single music genre doesn't – I don't listen to metal. I don't listen to punk rock music because that's not the music I enjoy listening to. It was so interesting. I went to a birth at a hospital here in DFW, Charlton Hospital, over in Dallas County. And we're very, very fortunate that Erykah Badu, who is a music artist in the R&B genre of music, she's also a doula. And so a doula who is an R&B music artist did a birth at a Dallas County hospital. And when I walked in, and being an African-American woman, being a doula, it sparked a conversation with the nurse. And she says, oh, yeah, there's a music lady who sings music, and she was actually a doula here too. Oh, that's right. Do y'all know each other? Interesting. Okay. So I thought that was kind of funny. But the fact that Erykah Badu is a doula and the fact that I'm a doula, we serve two different individual groups of people. And
yes,
what she does as a birth worker and what I do as a birth worker doesn't impact or encroach upon anybody else in this birth industry. It just doesn't.
That's right.
You know, I know birth workers here who charge, you know, upwards of $1,500 for their services. And there are women in their exact same community that do this work for free. I promise you, a doula charging $1,500 for her services isn't out looking for free clients.
No, she's not.
And a doula that's serving women who need free services, she probably doesn't even know the marketplace to go and find a $1,500 client because that's
mm-hmm.
not what her energy is. There is room for both. You can do both.
Yes.
You can have both. I'm proof of that. You know, I love being able to serve and I love being able to earn. You know, that's kind of my new take on things, earn and serve. I think there's a place in our industry for all of that. But it has
Absolutely.
To be about
Absolutely.
Authenticity, creativity, being true to self, dictating your services, just like that man Prince dictated his artistry.
Now, I also
there's a parallel.
Yes. I want to also say here, too, that, yes, there is a healthy balance, and I'm one of those people that I could definitely go from one spectrum to the next, and I'm very comfortable with that. And I've spoken with so many doulas in the past 3 months since I've done my own disengagement and moving forward and onward and unbranding myself. I've had doulas come to me and say, you know, I took this training with this group, and I'm really not feeling it because I like working with the community. I like working with WIC moms. I like working with my church group. And, you know, they've been taught something different. Then if that appeals to you, then that's where you need to be. That's the bottom line.
Definitely.
Now, I want to talk really briefly, too, about another side of this because we're talking about giving. We're talking about – this is energy. As a matter of fact, this week on Facebook, someone put up about how a birth hangover is real. Yes, it is, because we are giving so much at this birth and supporting that mama, as well as the fact that we are witnessing a miracle of energy. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. It is transferred from one entity to the next. So when we witness a birth, that's a transfer of energy, and that takes up a lot of energy. So I want to talk about briefly for a minute here because Prince was a very spiritual dude. If you ever see him perform and catch some of his performances, you will see that side of him come out where he just transcends and he's in a different plane when he's performing. I want birth workers to understand the importance of self-care in your spirituality as a birth worker. Meditation, yoga, Reiki, prayer, attending church, mass, whatever it is you have to do. Spirituality and self-care as a birth worker is so very vital and important. I went down to the river a couple of weeks ago and made my offering to Yamaya. And, you know, I have to say that this is really important work that we're doing because it helps us to stay connected. It really helps us to stay connected because when you are approaching the spiritual side, as Nakia just said, the white, the black, all of that falls away. And you just see that person in love and in respect. And you want to serve. You want to support. You want to help. So the spiritual side is also very, very important for us to maintain. And a lot of times we get so caught up in the work that we're doing and other attending all these trainings and running here and there. Please give yourself the opportunity to have that time of spiritual giving to yourself, spiritual nurturing to yourself. How about the fact that when I was at the river praying and making my offering to Yamaya, a group of people came up behind me. And for the first time in my life, I was completely unabashed and fearless and unapologetic. I was unafraid. I was uncensored. I prayed openly in public. Now, you can call me whatever you want to call me, but I had no reservation in doing that. How many people can honestly say that they can pray openly and as instinctively in public? When you have that spiritual connection, that's when this is all very easy for you, and it transcends you, and it actually heals you. So I really want to emphasize to all of you listening that you please take care of yourself spiritually and allow the spirituality within you to help evolve your birth practice. You won't be concerned about what other doulas are doing. You won't be concerned about the price they're charging. You won't be concerned about wearing their brand or being politically correct, because you will be so entrenched in your spirit, and spirit will be taking care of all of your needs. Because, as God always is, his way is perfect. So anyone else's way really takes you out of the way. And I want to give it back to Nikki on that one.
I love what you're saying, and it ties into the whole concept of us being these spiritual beings, having a human encounter, and knowing how that connects to the direction that we're going. So many people don't have that connection, and they don't take advantage of the opportunity to seek, you know, what it is that they need from a spiritual standpoint. So whatever it is, you know, and for some people, self-care isn't always about religion, because you can be spiritual without being religious, because I consider myself a very spiritual person.
I am not religious, by the way.
I'm not a religious individual.
I went for religious instruction all my life, but I am not religious. I am a spiritual person.
Right, and a lot of people have kind of created that evolution, you know, where it's about looking at where was I, you know, at that point in my life when I really, really needed something to grasp hold to from a religious standpoint, and I took hold of something, and then as I grow and as I evolve, I look to more of a spiritual side of how I manage my life, and then it transcends into other aspects of your world, because when you look at how you grow spiritually and how you take care of yourself spiritually, physically, then you look at your business and you see how your business is doing, and then you go back to the spiritual side of things. You look at your personal life, and most people say, well, God, why me? You know, that's the question most people ask, you know, why me? And then that whole, let me do some self-reflection. Let me step back and take a moment to do some self-care. And you know, and again, it parallels back to Prince. I mean, it just was evolution.
Exactly.
Where this man literally evolved. I mean, from what we saw in the 80s that was very over-sexualized, and he always related sex to spirituality. That was his his saying and his connection to it. I have a different approach to that. However, that was his thing. Yeah, I mean, that was his thing, and he felt like there was nothing wrong with that whole aspect of it. So his music always had a very sensual undertone, and that's what kept him, again, true and authentic to his creativity. But it is different for everybody. So it never was about the religion of Jehovah's Witness. He never denounced it. He spoke very openly about his religious affiliation, but he spoke more about truth. And if you listen to interviews, he says, you know, I just want people to understand the truth. You know, this is my truth, and this is a truth. And so for us as birth workers, look yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, what is my truth? What am I true to when it comes to being a birth worker? What is my truth?
Yes. And when Nakia says, what is your truth, don't think of a brand. Don't think of a Facebook group. Don't think of a specific person. Don't think of a teaching. Look and deal with yourself, your authentic, true self.
That reflection, because the reflection.
It's not going to lie to you. It's not going to have an ulterior motive. It's not going to persuade you. It's not going to brand you. It's just you and your authentic self and your authenticity. That is what's really important. Now, as Nakia brought up an excellent point before about Prince and his self-care, you never saw pictures of Prince walking out the house busted or tore from the floor up.
Exactly.
Never.
He said that on an episode of Oprah one time. He had on that white the year he performed on Oprah, and she asked him, you know, does he always walk around like that? He said, I don't even own a pair of sweats. I don't own sweat clothes and sweatsuits, you know, and I can only imagine the man probably slept in silk pajamas. But It was a part of who he was. It was a part of him.
Right. And I say that to all of you about that self-care, about, you know, how your appearance is and about how you take care of yourself. Because when you put that energy back into yourself, your body is a temple given to you by God. So when you put that energy back into yourself, you will be rewarded. Your body will take care of you. Your body will allow you to do as many births healthy and strong and vital. Today I presented on a very tough topic at a conference. I talked about the reproductive health of Black women in the United States, a very hard topic. But when I was presenting, the actual attendees remarked to me later, Denise, your energy, you have such positive, uplifting energy. You're just such a bright person. And I have to pray hard and meditate hard and work on myself introspectively very hard and get in touch with my spirituality fearlessly, unapologetically, with humility, prostrate myself before my ancestors in order for me to get where I am today. So I say all of that to you because it's very important, because when you do this work, then no one can shake you. You will not be shook. You may have to run back to your colleagues, your peers, and say, hey, can I run this by you? And I do that to Nakia all the time. But I know
yes,
in my heart.
Yeah, we do spend plenty of hours on the phone doing that.
Yes, but I do know in my heart, and Nakia knows in her heart, we are damn good at what we do. And we do it well, because this is what we were called to do. And we are embracing that call. We are embracing that ministry. We are embracing that light. And we have true faith unapologetically. We give. We are authentic, and we look towards spirit and in a light of humility. I don't have all the answers. I'm not the doula for everyone. I'm not the perfect person out here. But I'm out here working to help make an impact that's positive for future generations. That's what I truly do believe I can do as a doula. That's what I feel I can do in my community.
And that's what we all can do. The thing about it is, Denise, I'm sorry. We can all do that. It's not just one of us who has the ability. It's like, well, I can't do that because of X, Y, Z. Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Right.
If you don't tell yourself you can't do anything, then there's nobody out there making you do anything in specific. You can do anything you choose to do in this unregulated industry. I say that over and over and over. There are no regulations on this work.
This work that we do is a work that we do from the heart. It is a work that we do because we have the skills. It is a work that we do because we have the passion, the compassion. It is the work that we do because for those of us like me, it is my calling. I must be obedient to my God and do what it is he put me on this planet to do. And that's
yes.
where my rewards yes. come from. And the
yes.
more I give, the more I have to give.
Yes, and I just want to say really quick, too, Nikki, before we take a call or two, if we stay true to what this conversation is tonight and understand that the doula business is unregulated, but if we jump into Facebook pages and groups and get into a lot of this very distracting, very negative, very draining energy, then the doula profession will become regulated. We will lose a lot of the autonomy. We will lose a lot of the essence. So my thing is this. Stay in your lane. Stay away from things that do not bring out your authentic. If you have some unease, if you have some dis-ease about a group or about any type of thing that you're doing, then call a peer. Call me. Call me. Call somebody and run it past them and talk it out. Or get like I do every morning in the mirror and talk to yourself and say, this is where I'm going and this is how I'm going to get there. And it may not be right this second, but I'm getting there. But if you continue to jump in all that other stuff, and, you know, I talked about this in several other shows that we did, you know, and I had a very good friend of mine, an older white woman, tell me, are you doing what God put you here to do? Are you living in God's light? Those two things snapped my ass up real fast. So I have to get out of all that other stuff because it is distracting and it is draining and it's devaluing and it is not authentic.
It's ill productive.
And I don't care how flashy it looks. I don't care how wonderful and how many people are involved. It is not authentic. It is not. Okay, so I want to, I'm going to open the phone lines here for one or
yes.
two people, if you have something, you know, brief that you would like to say or a question you'd like to post, Nikki and I, please do that. If you do not have anything to say, then please mute your phone and we're going to keep it moving. But the lines are open. Does anyone have anything to say? Anyone has any questions? Welcome.
All right.
All right, the phone lines are open. No one has anything else to say, so I'm going to close the phone lines back. And Nakia and I are going to go ahead and finish up this show because we still have 32 minutes left, so that is enough time to get the job done.
Okay,
now, Nakia,
okay.
I want to also talk about what Prince did as far as like you said, the inclusiveness of dealing with other artists. He was never on the stage just by himself.
Ever.
He always had
Ever.
A band. He always had other musicians, noted musicians, playing with him, depending on whatever city he was in. I want to talk about that because I'm the type of doula, as I said, I'm not the doula for everyone, and I know that, and I embrace that, and I'm very comfortable with that. However, if there's someone that needs a doula, and I know of one, I'm going to refer the hell out of that doula. And I don't know how many other doulas out there can say that they can do that and do it openly and do it fearlessly. You know, how many other doulas can you pull into your light? And Nikki and I talk about this, and I had a situation where a client needed a doula. I certainly couldn't serve her where she was. I contacted Nikki, and Nikki says, oh, I know somebody. And boom. That whole referral train started moving down the track, and guess what? You know, we're getting those services. And I still was able to have some sort of positive influence on that entire scenario because I was able to put this energy out there and garner this referral and watch it take off. I think that's really, really important. As Nakia said earlier, you know, there's enough to go around. There's enough work. So referring, understanding what each of us do, that's why it's so important for us to blog and talk about our services and really, really have that opportunity to express unapologetically the love of the work that we do.
because that way.
Yeah, and that's one. Hey. Go ahead. That's one of the things that I liked about Prince is that he mentioned that he didn't keep the same band for a long period of time. So when you know he had his band of the 80s, and then he had the New Power Generation band, and then he had an additional band. So he had different band members. He said about every 2 years he would change up some of his band members, simply because he wanted to make sure that artists that had the skills and the love and the passion for the music, they were a part of it as well. And then aside from that, you know, just showcasing other skills and talents. He was good at doing that. And I think we do that as well in the birth profession, but not as often as we should. You know, there are some of us who don't mind saying, oh, you know what, I know someone who could benefit from XYZ 123 service that you offer that I don't offer. Or, you know, and I don't have to sell you that service. I don't have to expect you to there's limited expectations I have when I offer my resources to other people. In other words, right. You know, everybody doesn't have to give me a referral fee if I
right.
refer a doula to you. Because I don't need a referral fee for a doula. Let's say I'm referring somebody in Florida. I don't need you to give me a referral fee. I can't serve that mama in Florida. You know,
right.
Go serve her, love on her, give
there
her the birth of her choice, allow
there
her to be blessed by that. And then if you know somebody in Texas, I would hope that you would refer them to me just as, you know, as a reciprocal love. And that's what I was going to share earlier about, you know, that whole spiritual aspect of giving. Giving is a very reciprocal power.
Yeah.
And so when you give, and people don't realize it, but when you start giving and you start giving selflessly and not self, you know, with selfish intent, then so much comes back to you. So much more comes back to you when you give on that level. Because there have been times when I know for a fact that I've offered a resource to someone else with no expectation of anything in return, and then within a matter of days, I get blessed with something.
Yes.
I get blessed,
yes.
You know, just over and abundantly blessed, you know. And I can appreciate that. I appreciate that over and over and over again. I mean, it's hard to even explain how quick that turnaround can be when you're literally blessing and giving and continuing to share and love. And, you know, there's a newborn care specialist in my community, and I appreciate Allison, and I'll say her very openly tonight just to give her kudos and love and respect. But Allison was so kind to reach out to me and say, you know, Nikki, I had a mom who recently had a cesarean and can really use some belly binding. Can you come and service that mom? And so it's not a skill set that she has. She made the referral to me. I was able to meet with that mother and gain some financial revenue from that. But it wasn't like I did that and she had an expectation that she was going to get something in return. She did get something in return by chance because it's just the nature of who I am. And now she has the ability to provide that same resource to women that she comes in contact with. So she don't have to call me anymore. Now you go out and you do that same thing because now you have those same skill sets that I provided with that to that mother. So it's a reciprocal process of giving. And I never go without. I never lack because I give unselfishly, and that's the intention.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, shout out to Allison Oster. Appreciate you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, these podcasts that Nikki and I have done, like I said, I think we're almost like up to 15 of them. And Nikki wasn't on every single one of them, but she was on the majority of them when she wasn't at a birth or teaching a class. You know, we did all of these for free, F-R-E-E. There was no surcharge, there was no membership fee that you pay one time and then you can listen to all. No, we did everything from the jump for free. And it was important to give back to the community. It was important to engage in these conversations. And basically what I'm asking for is that all of you perpetuate what Nikki and I have started and blog and write letters and be engaged in your community and get out and have those many, many teachable moments about the function and roles of doulas and lactation counselors and placenta encapsulators and all that other good things that birth supporters do. I think that's where it's really, really important. Like today, when I was at the conference, I had many, many women come up to me, and they thanked me. Denise, this was a really tough topic. I really appreciate that you delivered it. It was fair. It was raw in some moments, but it had to be. But I really liked the way you presented it. And these other women also came up to me, and they were like, I came here because you were here. And, oh, yeah, I saw on the flyer Denise Bowles was presenting. And, Denise, I've been following you on this radio to your shows every night after work. And you on Facebook. Who knew? Who knew that all of this is happening? I had no idea about that. Not at all. Now, don't get me wrong, there were some women there that hello. I'm back. Can anyone hear me? I'm back on the air. I'm not sure if I'm being heard. Well, I'm back on the show. I hope I'm being heard. I do apologize, but for a technical difficulty, the show kind of got cut off. My call was dropped. So I do hope that I'm being heard, and I do hope that Nakia can jump back on because, wow, I don't know if I'm – can anyone hear me? Oh, good. I'm being heard. Great. Okay, great, great. Thank you, Krisha. Thank you. So, yeah, I hope Nakia is able to jump back in. This is Mercury Retrograde, so anything could happen here with technical difficulties and technical challenges. Oh, here's Nakia. She's back on with us. All
okay,
right.
Good. You guys can hear me. All right, we're back in business.
That's so funny how we got
talking. Yeah, I started talking just thinking, okay, maybe they can hear me. I hope they can. I'm just going to start saying wonderful things about how I'm so hoping that everyone is taking note to what we're saying. You know, and this is more than just about, you know, a music artist. It's so much more than about his legacy. It's so much more than about the evolution of him and the evolution of the birth worker. It's about all of us. It's about each and every one of us and how we connect to the work that we're doing. You know,
yeah.
And I use his life as a parallel because, you know, as I was, like I said, going through this process of learning more about him as an artist, it just opened my eyes to so many similarities that somebody needs to hear, because I was thinking maybe I'm the only one who sees this and who can embrace this. And so embracing it on so many different levels, from business to spirituality to authenticity with our creativity and our service and how we love on our families, it is just so much, because at the end of the day, there's still so much work to do. At the end of the day, there's so much that has to be done. At the end of the day, it is up to us. It is up to us as a collective. It is up to us as a sisterhood and a brotherhood of birth workers who care about the outcomes of births in our community. We care about these families. We care about these babies. We care about the community. We care about the impact that birth has on this industry as a whole, from a medical perspective, from what ACOG puts out, from what's evidence-based, from what is spirit-based, from what is love-based. It is so important that we do this together.
And it's really important, Nakia, because we are making a positive impact on future generations. At this conference that I'm presenting at today, not only did I mention in my presentation about epigenetic inheritance, but I had another speaker who was very noted, a PhD. I was the first one to present. And this PhD wrapped everything up for the conference. And let me tell you, she and I were on the same line of, she mentioned in her presentation about epigenetic inheritance. And her name is Kathleen Kendall Tackett. She's a noted,
love her.
She's a noted
Kathleen.
PhD woman, excellent, excellent mathematics, statistic person, data driven. She's very intelligent. So, you know, epigenetic inheritance is real. And when we come into this profession able to teach, able to understand spirit, able to understand authenticity, able to understand the reciprocity of giving, able to understand the respect and the unity of sisterhood, like Nakia just said, we will be making a positive impact on future generations. Because my mantra is, how you are born is how you will live. How you are born is how you will live. And between myself and Kathleen today, we talked about that and how many births end up being traumatized. And that trauma is definitely extended to the newborn, without a doubt. Without a doubt, especially if that newborn is not breastfed. That newborn really is lined up to be the recipient of the birth trauma that the mother experienced as well. What we're doing here is very vital work, and it has to be respected with spirit. It has to be respected with reciprocity and respect and love and all these things that Nikia and I talked about tonight. And when you don't feel any of those things, when you don't feel your authenticity, when you don't feel the love and respect, then it is time to make that shift, have that long discussion with yourself, pull along with you a peer, a mentor, a close friend that you can talk to, pray or meditate, and really get back on track, because you can do it. You can do it. You can definitely
Yeah, it
do
has
it.
To be done. This is one of those things where it's not a second thought. You know, if this is what you were called to do, you know, I give Prince credit. You know, he truly knew that from the time he was 12 years old that he was going to be a musician. He told many a times that he was trying to find a job, a quote unquote job. He had even gone through the paper and the want ads and whatnot in the yellow pages looking for a quote unquote job and could not find anything that he felt resonated with who he was. And
right.
At that point, he put 110% into his music. And so that's the same thing that I suggest, you know, to the birth workers that I coach. And when they reach out to me and they ask me, you know, well, what else should I be doing? And I'm like, well, what are you doing as a birth worker? That's what you should be doing. You know, if you have to go out and try to find something else to compensate for what it is that you were called and meant to do, then something's going to get watered down. But if you
right.
know for a fact that you were put on this earth to serve in the capacity of a birth worker, then you give that 110%. You take massive action. You pour your 110% into perfecting your craft, to gaining your skill sets, to getting your business to another level. And you do that. And you do that with people around you who support you. You know, you may need someone to help coach you. A lot of artists, even singers who have beautiful voices, they still have a singing coach who's not famous. Britney Spears is the main one. She had about 6 different vocal coaches to help take
sure.
her through her career as her voice
Mariah
as
Carly.
Her voice evolved.
Yeah.
And so she needed vocal coaches to help her as her sound started to change. And it was interesting, even with her as an artist, she could sing, but someone had to help perfect what it was that she brought to the table. That's the same thing that happens in our industry. You know, we need that mentoring. We need those coaches that can help us go from one level to the next, just like in the music industry. It's the same way in the birth industry, because we cannot do this thing on an island. We cannot.
No.
We cannot isolate ourselves.
And I have to really agree with you, Nikia, because, you know, I have a lot of doulas come to me for guidance. They come to me for mentorship. They come to me for advice. A lot of them come because they just need someone to talk to, someone to listen, someone to basically attend that conversation and validate what they're saying, and just sit there and just listen. I also offer hugs, and I also offer words of encouragement, but a lot of times we just want to be heard. That is the number one human desire that these spirits have to undergo, and that's what we are. That we want to be heard. And sometimes you have a birth that is just rough, it's tough, or it's exhilarating. Either way, you want to be heard, you want to share, you want to talk about it. Or you feel that you're not going or advancing in your business the way you would like to. You need to express that. So being authentic also means opening up those roads of communication and being fearless in doing so. Being in a state of denial, being a copycat, being complacent, being sedentary, being isolated, being all those negative things that I just mentioned is not going to help grow your business, nor is it going to allow you to be your authentic self, nor is it going to get you closer spiritually. It is not going to happen. You have to step out on faith. You have to step out. As Steve Harvey, which his video went viral 2 times, not once, but twice, and I even posted it on my page and Nakia's pages, you have to make that jump. You have to make that jump. No one else can do it but you. Your husband, your boyfriend, your mother, no one can do it for you but you. And in the book of Revelation, when that horn is blown, and when everything comes to the point that, well, we're being called back, we can't look back and pull our friend, our favorite dog, our favorite brother, our mother, our father. It is individual. It is the self. It is the spirit, the one person that you have to be accountable for. It is you and how you present with your authentic self. Because as I had an older wise woman tell me, Denise, it's not the mama that picks you in the doula business. It's the baby. Mom and baby are connected. So when you are interfacing with that mom and doing your doula interview, or she's talking to you on the phone, or even if she looks at your picture on your webpage, that all of that communication transfers to the baby. And that's where the connection is like, oh, yeah, this is great. This will be good for you, Mom. Boom. That connection is made. So it's really, really powerful. And it's something that we really can't shrug off and capitalize on or make it into a brand or a commodity. I don't want our work to be a commodity. I want it to be something that is cherished and basically priceless. So that's how I feel about it, and that's what I've evolved to. Because at one time, I was in that very capitalistic commodity, competition, all those things, and I lost the essence of my spirituality and authenticity of who I was. And Nakia kind of helped pull me back. A lot of you helped pull me back. These shows were cathartic. These shows were very therapeutic for me as far as getting me back to my authentic self, because I gave over 15 shows. I pulled and produced and did all this work because I wanted to give. And in that giving, I also helped myself. So I think all of this is really, really important, and that we continue to perpetuate the work, that we continue to promote one another, that we continue to stay unified, we stay in communication with each other, and we support one another. I want us to support each other damn straight, Skippy, as well as we support that mama when she's in labor. And I will do it for you. You call me if I can in my power and my provision, I will do my very best. And I hope that the same thing is given off to me. And I know I get it from Nakia, but I'm just talking
yes,
in general
yes.
to all of you.
Let me jump in and kind of give a moment to what you were saying about Steve Harvey in that whole concept of jumping. I like what he says, and I've definitely watched that video several times because it was really emotional for him.
Oh, yes, I used it in my presentation, absolutely.
Oh yeah, and I think it's important for us to, you know, to take a leap of faith, or just a moment of whatever it takes for us. But one of the things that I can say, and this is not to divert from Prince the artist, but and to bring it up about Steve Harvey, but I like the fact that Steve Harvey gets a buy-in from the community. When it comes to giving back, he is very philanthropic in his efforts and his giving as well, but he also gets a buy-in from the community. On his radio show and, you know, on his talk show, he talks about the things that he's doing in the community for members of the community, but he also wants the community to buy into that concept. So this man makes millions. He could do any of these programs he wanted to out of his pocket, but yet he does his fundraising efforts because he wants the community to buy into what he's doing. I wholeheartedly believe that that's necessary, and I think that it's important that even in our giving and even in our service, the individuals that we are pouring into, we need some reciprocal giving in return, because otherwise it becomes a matter of you're giving and giving and giving and giving and you feel drained. And so we don't want to drain ourselves and get a community burnout. We don't want to get a burnout in our giving because, again, giving is reciprocal. And so not only do you get from the benefit emotionally and spiritually and financially in terms of giving, you also gain from those who you're giving to. And so I like that about him, and that's part of what, you know, I'm venturing into as, you know, I rebrand my for-profit, I rebrand my nonprofit. Part of the reciprocal giving is a buy-in. There has to be a buy-in from those who are receiving the services, the benefits, and the individuals who are taking advantage of what it is we have to offer. So it's a good place. It's a good thing. It's meant to show that we do have a vested interest. We all have a vested interest in what is going on in the birth industry. We all have a vested interest in what's going on in our individual birth communities. And be it that you're evolving because you're hearing it now and you're just now starting out, and it's like, well, I'll grow into this, the birth worker that I choose to be, and have a portion of giving and a portion of service and a portion of learning and a portion of earning, and you know, all of that's a part of it. But then just know that everything that you put out there, there should be room for you to gain something back, and that is important, that the buy-in is from those who also reap the benefits. So kudos to Steve Harvey for that. Kudos to Prince for the life that he lived and all that he had to offer. Denise, I'm going to let you go ahead and wrap up because I got a few more minutes before I got to jump off this line. So I don't want to end the show without you. But if you're going to allow individuals to open up the line and say what they have to say or share, then that'll be great, so that I can kind of finish out my evening because I got to – unexpected situation I got to tend to.
Okay, sure. So I just want to say, too, to our listeners, if you are part of any type of a group or collective or a collaborative, any of those things, and you are not being fulfilled, then please excuse yourself. It is okay for you to excuse yourself and move forward with your spiritual growth and your ascension. That's really, really important that you think about those things. It's really okay, because your faith will guide you to the right group, the right people, in the right place at the right time. That is my firm belief to each and every one of you, and that has certainly happened here with me. So I'm speaking from faith, and so far faith has not discouraged me or disheartened me or let me down. So I have opened up the lines really quick. We have 6 minutes left of the show. The lines are wide open. Does anybody have any comments or a question or anything they'd like to say before we go?
Hi, this is Lakeisha. How is everyone this evening?
Hey, Ms. Lakeisha, how are you? Good to hear
Hello.
From you.
Good. Hello, ladies. I just want to say that this really, really tonight just blessed my spirit. I have to go back and listen to the whole thing because I had a call in between, but it's really important. One of the things I wanted to say is that it's really important for those of us, especially if you've been a birth professional 3 years to 5 years, because that's that real burnout period where you
All
really
right.
have to think about who you are and what you need to do to either do something else or keep doing this work. If you've made it past that point, get a mentor for yourself to keep going. But also reach out to another doula and mentor her. Doesn't matter your certification, your program, what country you're from. Reach, be that connector. Learn something from someone else who's ahead of you, so to speak, but also reach back to those newer doulas and help them not have some of the pitfalls that we had to work through, especially as this industry's changed over the last 5 years. Really help be a mentor for somebody else coming up. And you're going to change their life and their career.
All right.
So, ladies, have a great night.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your insight.
Wonderful. Okay, we have one more. We have about a minute left. If anyone else, if they want to jump in, anyone else? Anyone? All righty then. We're going to close up the lines here for the night. I just can't thank everyone enough. It's a dream come true. It's just an amazing project that Nakia and I have done and continue to do. And as we move down this road, we're still jumping back here on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm so grateful to Nikia because every time I say, let's do it, she always says, okay. She has yet to tell me, nah, Denise, I don't think that's not. She never tells me she doesn't have time. She makes time. She fits it in, and we go into this hard because it's my
yes.
faith, and we take the jump together as friends, and I'm really grateful to all of you, and I'm grateful to Nikia, and I'm just thrilled. I'm absolutely thrilled to do this, and I know we're going to have more shows on. I'm working on several topics now to come back on everything from placenta encapsulation. We're going to talk about that on this segment. We're going to talk about perinatal bereavement. So we have some other shows to bring forward to all of you. So, Nikia, do you have anything else you want to say before we wrap it up? Nikia? Uh-oh.
I'm talking with the mute button on. Yeah, I try to talk with the mute button on. I'm sorry. No,
oh,
I encourage
okay.
you guys to go
right.
listen to your favorite Prince song and see, go watch Purple Rain. Enjoy the purpleness of your spirit. Get on in there and do something. Make it happen. Love on yourself.
May
is
National Masturbation Month.
Oh my gosh. Okay, that's a little bit more loving than I was thinking about. Okay. All righty then, Denise.
Yeah, I just want to thank Nikia again, and you know, it's just been a wonderful ride. I've known Prince, you know, being a New York City girl. I auditioned for Purple Rain and, you know, did the whole groupie thing for a long time, too. So, you know, I've had my fun there, too. And it was a magical time. It was a magical moment in my youth. And I'm so grateful that he was able to provide that. And I want us to continue to provide the magic for each other and for our clients and for future generations. So I think that's really important. So I'm going to wrap it up here now. We have 2 minutes left of the show. I'm going to open up the lines. If I call out your name and number, if you want to holler out and say where you're from and your name, that would be really cool.
Roll call.
Yeah, roll call. Here we go. Area code 210-912. 210-912. Where are you? Hello?
Yes, Tonda. Tonda from Gainesville, Virginia.
All right. Welcome, thank you, Virginia. Represent. Area code 202-906. 202-906.
Okay, 267-250. Hi, ladies. It's Jarrell. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
From Texas.
Where are you from?
How are you guys?
Texas.
From Texas.
Yes, Jarrell Cox. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, ladies?
Good.
I'm so glad you did this show.
Purple
Rain.
We're running out of time.
Love it, love it.
Thank
you.
862-368.
Oh, sorry, that's me, Lakeisha from Newark.
All right, great. 512-801.
Hi, Krisha Crosley from Kennedale, Texas. I'm a doula.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, so that's it. Nikia and I are going to say goodnight. Love to all of you. And please write on the event page any comments or any afterthoughts you may want to share. And let's stay authentic. Thank you so much, Nikia. Thank you to everyone.
Thank
Take
you
care.
So much. You guys have a great rest of the evening. Bye-bye.
Bye.